Merry Christmas in July. Happy Hanukkah. Kiss his. I'm just kidding. It is what it is. If you don't know, you don't know. Did you get the? It was corporate cards, right? Christmas cards. Did y'all not get those in the mail this year? Oh my goodness. Well, Carl, I want to give you that. Good night. How have I been your pastor for 8 years and you don't know Christmas Vacation? What is wrong? Go home and watch it today, and then next week I expect a full book report. So, on non-nutritive cereal varnishes that don't. I just needed a hug. That's okay. I got it from the palm tree. The other tree is still there, and we found out that if a tree does fall in the forest, you do not hear it. So, that being said, thank you for hanging out with us for that wonderful filler minute of time. If you missed out hanging out with us today, you've missed out some fun. We're all in our wonderful Christmas in July regalia. I've fixed the null post here with Clark Griswold as we're ready to go. There's a cat that has been killed by the lights and all kind of crazy good fun stuff today in the house of the Lord, and we're celebrating that today because we can have some fun in the house of the Lord, right? No?
Yeah.
Sometimes. Without being Pentecostal. So we're good to go with all of that. So we're so thankful that we've had some awesome worship today and some Christmas carols as we're going to continue our How to Thrive in Christ series. So I lead you to let two people know today, Jesus is God's best gift for me. Come on. Jesus is God's best gift for me. Jesus. Jesus is God's best gift for me. Whatever you want to say. Feliz Navidad. Whatever. Wherever you want to go with it. Jesus, though, is God's best gift for me. We've got to know that as we walk through that, as we continue in our series in 1 Corinthians 10. We're actually going to wrap it up next Sunday as we celebrate ordination. So we've kind of got two different celebration Sundays going on here, which is fun. But we're going to be diving into 1 Corinthians 10, and I have the right to do anything. Now, we've talked about this before and our rights as Christians, and Paul is continuing to pound the drum with the Corinthians. Now, this being said, I want us to think about this when we say, I have the right to do anything. This is our kids' perspective every day, but December 24th and December 25th until the Christmas gifts are opened, right? Like, after the Christmas gifts are opened, I have the right to do anything. It doesn't matter what mom and dad says, because Santa ain't taking them toys back. I'm just saying. So that being said, and then all the way up, like, you might get a little bit of goodness on December 23rd, but on December 24th, man, your kids are the best they're ever going to be. As long as, at least on social media, or maybe even December 25th. And then after the Christmas gifts are open, they're mad at you, right? Back to normal, right? I can do anything I want to do. And we do that. Now, this is kind of what Paul is trying to get at with the Corinthians. We do that with God, too. He gives us such wonderful gifts, and he blesses us with wonderful gifts. And then we get them, and we open them, and we enjoy it for a second, and then we just throw it back on the pile, don't we? Man, I'm coming in heavy on Christmas. But I'm just saying, that's where we are. This is what the Corinthians are still struggling with. And I believe for us today, that's where we can see, maybe that's where we're struggling right now. Maybe God's given us a gift right now, and we're not seeing it as a gift. Maybe we see it as a burden. Maybe we see it as a curse. Maybe we don't see it as something that's a blessing. And so today, maybe, just maybe, I hope and pray you would be encouraged as we celebrate Christmas in July, that the gifts that God's given us have a purpose, and they are good. cares if I do that? What if I just stood up here and just sat here and I was just drunk off my tail, just dropping cuss word after cuss word, and just going losing it? Would you want to listen to the word of God from me? I wouldn't want to. I'd expect you to kick me straight in the teeth because I need it. I need that discipline. But this is what the Corinthians were struggling with. We've kind of talked about this. Remember in 1 Corinthians 9, he talks about them eating food to idols. Last week, in the past few weeks, he was talking to them about, hey, you're either in the flesh or the spirit. You can't take the communion. You can't take communion with the Lord. You can't take the Lord's Supper and then go have an orgy right after. Like, that's probably, it's probably not a good idea. You can't eat to your heart's content and sacrifices to Athena or the goddess that is there, whatever goddess or goddess that they were worshiping at the time, and still worship the Lord. And so that's why hearing this for you and I, when we hear, I have the right to do anything, it doesn't hit the same, but it is profound with Paul being so legalistic. Because Paul, when he was Saul, would never say that. Yet he's going to talk about the grace of God. And he's going to talk about to them how even though you have the right to do anything, he follows it up, is it beneficial and constructive? So more on that in a second. So let's talk about this. So you and I, realistically, let's just be real. You and I are going to struggle with sin this side of heaven, no matter what. I don't care who you are. None of us are perfect. None of us are going to be sin-free. As a matter of fact, if somebody stands up here and says that, hey, I don't struggle with sin anymore, they're a liar. I'm not going to lie to you. They're lying. They are. We're all going to struggle this side of heaven. You know why? Because we're made of flesh. You and I have just been set free from the wages of that sin. And so now what do we do with that freedom? What do we do with that peace? Do we just continue in sin? See, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, we've talked about him before. The reason that we continue in sin many times is we like to cheapen grace. Well, I've got to do that. I got to have some me time. Some people in sports have me bounds, which is absolutely wrong. If you know, you know. I'm not going to say it. I'm just saying. Anyway, that being said, wherever you are, it's all about me. We're going to talk about that in a minute. There are some things that we can take care of for ourselves, but the problem is when we continue in sin, we pursue that over Christ, and that's what the Corinthians were doing, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about that being cheap grace. Now, Bonhoeffer, if you don't know who he was a pastor, really quickly, who was in Germany when Nazism was on the rise. And what he saw happening is the church embraced Hitler. Because the church thought, well, if we bring him in our midst, then we'll have political power. And we can change the nation of Germany for Christ. And Bonhoeffer spoke against it and said, you don't understand. You're cheapening grace. Yes, he's welcome in the house of the Lord, but to have him lead is not what you want. What he's saying is death to the Jews. Like, he's saying that the Jews should be killed. And I'm pretty sure the Old Testament, God speaks against the people that kill his people. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. And instead, they kept shunning him and shunning him and shunning him. And long story short, he dies because he tries to lead a coup to overthrow Hitler. If you ever seen Valkyrie, you would have known Bonhoeffer is in there. That being said, long story short, why does that matter? I'm not here to talk about whether that was the right or wrong decision. We've done that before. But why it matters is because the church in Germany has still not recovered from that. The public no longer came to the church because the public always now associates the church with Hitler. And so this is what Paul is trying to get to the Corinthians. Understand who you associate. Understand what you're trying to do. So you do have the right to do anything because of God's grace, but don't cheapen it. Don't cheapen it because there's two ways you can see if you're going to cheapen it or not. At first, he says, are they beneficial? Is it beneficial? He says, not everything is beneficial. So in other words, Paul is saying, you and I, our tendency in our flesh is to go right up to the line of sin and see how much we can get away with, isn't it? That's what our parents, I just said, parents, that's what your kids do, December, January 1st to December 22nd, and then maybe 23rd, and then the 25th after the gifts are open. They go right up to the line of making you want to take their lives. Not too much, just close enough, just close enough. But that's what you and I do with our sin. We try to go right up to the line to it. And so for you and I, we shouldn't be asking the question, hey, as a Christian, can I do this? The question should be, is this beneficial to what God's calling me to do? It's a big difference. Because that then answers the question if it's the right thing to do or not. So not everything is beneficial. So think of it this way. How many of us today want to go to prison? Y'all missed it. Everyone raised their hand. It was crazy. No one, right? It would be the worst experience of your life. I would say that it's probably one of. It may not be the worst, but it's up there. It's top 10, probably the worst experience anyone would ever want to have. Like, I would say that is not something I have on my bucket list is, you know what? I need to go to jail. Now, if it's for Christ, yes, I know all of us are willing to do that. But honestly, none of us would want to go to jail. So imagine you and I are out, we run a car theft ring. And all of a sudden, yeah, we got a good, we're organized in the Lord, you know, got a good bus ministry. That being said, where we are is we're in a car theft ring and we get arrested and go to jail for it. But by the grace of God, we get paroled early. Now imagine if we go back out and say, man, we just needed to be bigger. Let's go start a bigger car theft ring. Let's go back to jail. And let's do it again. And then we get out by the grace of God again. I know three strikes is supposed to be you're out, but we're like, we just weren't big enough, man. We got to take this thing international. We got to do this. How stupid would that be? See, we can laugh at that, but we do the same thing with God's grace. We take it for granted. And I'm just as guilty as all of us. As Paul writes later, I'm the chief sinner. We all do that. We take God's grace for granted. So Paul is saying, don't take it for granted. Ask if it's beneficial. And the second thing he says, instead of saying, I have the right to do anything, is it constructive? Is it constructive? The Greek word there is oikodemio. Oikodemio. Really crazy, awesome, good. I know I said that. I'm very proud that I said that. But oikodemio, and literally it means to build up a house. Goes back, like in my brain, I go back to Jesus. Are we building our house on sand or on the rock? So in other words, you and I, by God's grace, have the ability to build up. What's easier, church? To tear something down or to build something? Much easier to tear it down. That's the fun part, isn't it? Beep, beep. And like, I just watch it go down. Like, it's just ready. That's the fun part. But then comes the hard part. You got to build something in its place. As Christians, you and I take part in the hard part. We build up. We build up God's house. We take the peace that he's given us. We take the grace that he's given us. And we are to build each other up. That is called edification of the body. It's the same thing that Paul is trying to tell the Corinthians is, you have the grace of God, but you don't have it just for you. It is to be beneficial and constructive to building God's house and his church. He goes on to say this in verse 24. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. You want to have healthy relationships. You want to have great relationships in your life, no matter what you do, in business, in marriage, in family, in friendships. This should be the verse. It's said all the time at weddings in Ephesians 5, right? Sometimes people like it, sometimes people don't. I think it's, Ephesians 5, 22, something like that, around in there, where it's husbands, you are to die to yourself and love your wife as Christ loved the church. And wives, you are to support your husband, you submit to your husband. So you are putting the other needs of another person first, which leads to that second gift that we like to open come Christmas time. Love. We all want some love, man. You can say what you want. I don't like love. You love love. All of us love love. We love to love, and God knows we love to be loved. That's what we all want. He's telling the Corinthians, when you say it with God's grace, is it beneficial? Is it constructive? Now, here's how you can also know. Did you put yourself first, or did you put others first? That's that second commandment that Jesus says. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pop quiz, everybody, really quick. It is better to what than receive? Give, right? Isn't that putting somebody else first? 100%. So let's be honest, though. Isn't that the hardest thing to do? It is for me. Maybe that's just my sin. You know what? I can actually love my enemy, but it's real hard for me to love my neighbor. Even though a lot, I mean, it is. It's real hard for me to love my neighbor. But I can love my enemy. You know why? Because sometimes my enemy is the enemy of my enemy, and so we can come together, and then we can figure something. We can both find somebody we hate. We can find somebody we don't like. My neighbor, man, it's hard for me to love my neighbor. It's hard for me to put my neighbor's needs above me. It's hard. Because sometimes you do that and they take advantage of you, 100%. Or they don't like what you do. A tree falls on your land or your property and it was theirs. Trust me, you find out that neighbor real quick, right? Because they gone. Left a pod there for like 7 years, right? Like whatever that is, your neighbor is hard to love. This is what Paul is saying, is to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Why? That's what Jesus modeled. He modeled this love. Sacrificially, he gives himself up for us. Sacrificially, he puts others first. Paul, a Shamite Pharisee, persecuting Christians. When he stood around, do you think when Paul signed off on Stephen's stoning, didn't you think that he was within his rights to do that? He firmly believed, I'm in my rights to kill him. He's speaking against God. I'm in my rights. Yet how much more could Jesus look at us in our sin and his rights and reject us and not come at Christmas to be born in a manger, to be born in a lowly place? Actually, poor Mary, we talk about Mary, but where Mary gave birth to Jesus, we think of it as a cave, but it was actually open. Think about that. The town crier ringing the bell. She's pregnant, and then all of a sudden the baby's here. Think of that. He could have chosen anywhere else. He could have been chosen now when we got air conditioning, even though we don't feel about it. Think about it. Mary had to ride the donkey. Poor Mary had to ride a donkey. And Joseph was walking with it. Like, think about this. And yet Jesus fully gives up his rights for us to show us how we can do it. This is what Paul is saying. We are to give up our rights. Jesus says it in Matthew 16, 24. He also says in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke, he says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, they are to deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me daily. Daily. Sometimes minute by minute. Parents, what I love about you is whether you realize it or not, you may not ever think this, but you are a picture of that. Because you have to deny yourself for that kid, because that kid ain't going away. That kid's not going away. Praise God, they're not going away. One day they will. One day you will raise them well and they will grow up. And one day, God willing, whatever he has in store for them, they will do. But they're not going away. You are a picture of the cross. That's why I love that we have a great Vine Kids ministry that can do that and love on our babies that way. That being said, you and I have to think each other first. We have to be a living sacrifice to have this gift of love in our life. And when we do that, isn't it so much easier to connect with someone? Like if I'd be arguing with my neighbor all the time and says, let me tell you about the love of Jesus. Like he's probably just like, that's why I'm never coming to church, is because that's what I expect, somebody mad at me. But instead, if I show that and I put him first, it's so much easier to be the gospel to him. Let's see how he wraps it up in verse 25 to 26. He's going back to talking about food sacrificed by idols. I think it was probably Christmas tree cakes or something. I don't know. It was something in here that he's talking about that we got to be careful of. They were taking that at the Lord's Supper for communion. It was crazy. So that being said, verse 25 to 26, he says this. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's, everything in it. The third gift that Paul is giving us to open, this third Christmas gift, is joy. So really quickly, the three gifts that we get to open today are peace, love, and joy. Peace, love, and joy. Those are three things he's given us. And what is he talking about when joy? Because at this, he's saying, hey, he's talked about in 1 Corinthians 9 how you aren't to help somebody, you're not to let somebody be a stumbling block. But remember Peter, I actually got to read it this morning in Acts 10, and there's the sheet that comes and there's unclean and clean animals, and he's trying to figure out what he should and shouldn't eat. And God says, eat. And Peter said, Lord, I've never let anything unclean touch my lips. And God says, what I have made clean is clean. Take, eat. This is what Paul is almost alluding to right here even more. He's saying, hey, what God has made clean is fine. Don't worry about what it was sacrificed to. Don't worry about whether it was there or not. Break bread with your friends. Break bread with your neighbors. Have joy. Think of this. The earth is the Lord's. What kind of gift is that? It's amazing. It's an amazing gift that we have. Think of the fullness of joy that you and I get to have. When I read this, it says, eat anything sold in meat market. I'm laughing because it's terrible. It means when you get thirds at Thanksgiving, the Lord is still with you, right? When you go to the dessertery first, instead of going to the full course meal. The Lord is with you. Eat anything sacrificed in the meat. Be full. Think about that. How full is it? When you think about your life, I'll be honest with you, and I think about mine. When I look back on memories and the thankfulness I am to the Lord, it's usually Christmas or the holidays, because you are full of what? Joy. I think it's one of the most beautiful pictures of heaven. Giving gifts with each other, having gifts, having something give a gift to you, whether you do Santa Claus or not, whatever that is. Santa Claus, whatever you do with that. No, that's terrible. You know, something rocks. It is what it is, wherever you are. Lord, you shouldn't say that, you know, in the tough crowd. That being said, wherever it is, there's trying to be comedic relief, Lord. I'm trying to give them some joy. They don't want it. Please, dear Lord, let that be on the television today. Let every TV station go out but that, and it be the only thing playing. I'm just saying. Whatever it is. But we have joy. We have joy. Clark Griswold was worried about everything, but come Christmas Day, there was joy. There was joy. There's fullness. And this is what Paul is saying, is we have to enjoy the Lord. And we struggle with that. I struggle with that. It's hard to have joy sometimes. It really is. Long story short, Paul is trying to say in this moment that you and I shouldn't be so attached to only having Christian friends that we neglect culture and engaging in culture, that we don't get the gospel in culture. Yet at the same time, we can't be like the Corinthians and engage fullness of the culture and lose grasp of the gospel. There's that happy medium. So we can't be a liberal Christian or a conservative Christian. We have to be in the middle that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And this is what Paul is getting back to for them. And so the question is, do you and I have joy in the Lord? And I can't answer that. I will tell you this. Here's where I will tell you. So this is me. Our brokenness connects us to people, but there's something else that connects us to people. I've always talked about that and the purpose of our brokenness, and it's so very true. But there is something else. I've said this a couple of times, and I'll be real with you, because it is where a struggle I have right now. Let me get the couch and lay on it for a minute. How much y'all charge an hour? We're almost there. Free. Good. I can pay that. That being said, is this. Church, honestly, I forgot how to have fun. I know that sounds crazy. Probably not. Sometimes it's hard for me to remember to have fun. It really, really is. And I wish it wasn't so. In other words, if you were to go on my Facebook, you probably just see all Vine stuff. Like, there's nothing. I don't have anything. And I don't live for social media. I don't live for those things. If you're engaging with me, church is always going to come up with conversation. It's my calling. I get that. But, like, there's got to be some fun in there somewhere, because there's got to be some culturally engaging things. Here recently, I've said that. I've talked about this a couple of times to a few of you, where I say, hey, just pray for me. I forgot how to have fun. I get to talk about racing from time to time. But here recently, I literally used a baseball glove. I haven't done that in probably 25 years. Like, literally, like, not just thrown just a little bit back and forth, but like literally got to throw a baseball for a long, long time. And for me, it just reminded me of, man, I forgot how much fun I have doing this. I forgot how much fun I have doing this. My nephew Aiden, he made snare drum this year for marching band. He's been trying so hard to do it. He's been cymbals. He throws it up and somehow didn't slice his finger off. But like, man, my joy is like, dude, I can actually help you with. I know something about drum. He don't need my help. He's got it. But still, it gives me joy. Like, I can have fun with that. Like, I understand that. I can do that. Like, I have a little bit of fun. I've forgotten how to have fun. You know, when we have that passion and calling in our life that brings us joy, that connects us with people too. Now, there will be brokenness in that, but there will be fun in that. If you enjoy watching football, talk about football, but you can bring Jesus in it. If you enjoy baseball, talk about baseball. If you enjoy racing, we get to racing. I can talk to you about racing. Might even talk to you a little bit about politics. Don't get onto it too much, because they're all crooks, but we won't open that one. That being said, we don't do that. Like, there's fun that has to be had, and I don't remember to do that well. But church, we have to do that well. That's why we have to have Sundays like this. I literally have to schedule this, or we won't do it. Like, Christmas in July will happen in June. I don't know. Sometimes it'll work out. You got to remind me. I don't know. Like, I have to schedule these things, and it's bad, and I wish it wasn't always that way, but I have to be reminded of that, that we have to have fun, because I'm pretty sure Jesus had fun, didn't he? He was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard, two of which he was not. Yet it made me think, do you call skinny people fat? I'm not saying Jesus was overweight, so don't. I'm not speaking against that. I'm just saying the dude ate all the time. Like, he may have fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, but he was always at a table eating with people. Was always having fun with them. So much fun, they thought he was drunk. One of the first things he accused the disciples of on Pentecost was being drunk. When it was the Holy Spirit, they were so full of the joy of the Lord and joy of the Spirit. And so Paul is saying that, hey, enjoy this. Enjoy everything that the Lord puts before you. Enjoy the meat sold in the meat market without raising questions. In other words, in our culture, we get to pick what we eat. Other cultures, you get what's thrown in front of you. That's it. If it's bird and you got to eat the whole bird, guess what? You eat the whole bird. The beak is the delicacy. Good luck. I'm good. Pass. You're good. That's all you, dog. I'm not the guest of honor today. Praise Jesus' name. That's all you want, bird beak? That's on you. Go ahead and eat the legs, too. I'm good with that. I just give me a wing or a thigh. I'll be all right with that. Give me something like that. But seriously, it is what it is. And we take that for granted. So we are called to enjoy that because Paul is quoting Psalm 24, 1 and 2 here when he says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God did make the earth for us to enjoy. I forget that sometimes. We see the brokenness and we see the darkness, but why else would he have created this world? Yes, sin entered in at the fall, did it not? And one day this will go and God will destroy this and all will be made right. He will wipe away every tear. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning like it originally was in Genesis 1. But yet in this time, this earth points to something because you and I are in it. Creation cries for Jesus. It points to something. So we're called to enjoy it. Enjoy it. And I'm going to do my best to not be emotional because I might, so just hang in here with me, but I will tell you, you never know when your last day is. It's the one appointment you can't change. Like, you never know what your last day, you never know the last Sunday you're going to get to be with your church family. You never know the last day you're going to get to see your family on earth. Before you see them, pray prayerfully, God willing, knowing Jesus as your Savior, before you're in your resurrected body. So then they get to see like the after picture the next time you see him, and they can be like, you got to see the before, and then you get to see the after, you know, like the terrible commercial, the guy's out of weight, or like the picture, and he's like standing close to the camera, and then he goes back here to try to make himself look smaller, and it's the same size. Anyway, it's not that. It's going to be better. It's a resurrected body. It's a body that is perfectly the way it was supposed to be made in heaven. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Because when you live with passion like that, like it's Christmas every day, isn't that something you want to be around? I'm not like that all the time. I wish I was. I'm sorry. Prayerfully, I'm trying to be better about that, but think about that. You want to see that kid open that gift every day. Think about that. That one gift they wanted that you had to go all over and tore heaven and earth up to find that one gift for them to love Pee Wee Herman or a flashlight, right? Like it was all the way through. You found that one gift, that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, that wrestling thing. You went everywhere. And the joy they had with it for 30 seconds when they opened it. And then they broke it 10 minutes later. Whatever that was, that joy though, you want that every time. That's what God wants for us, isn't it? Think about that. Every time the sun comes up, that's what he wants for us. Every time someone says yes to Jesus by trusting his son being raised up is his joy. See, we have to take that gift that God's given us and live with passion, with peace, with love, with joy. Because what Paul is really trying to get to the Corinthians is one thing we know. The only way we can experience full peace is through Christ Jesus. The only way we can know true love and share true love is through Christ Jesus. And the only way we can know joy is through Christ Jesus. Because God himself is most satisfied and most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. When we know him as our joy. And we know him as giving good gifts and him working it out and being sovereign over all. The reason that we don't get to experience these things is we don't like him being Lord of all of our life. And that's where the Corinthians struggled. Specifically for them, it was sexual sin. Like, honestly, I know I keep bringing it up. It was literally that. They were participating in sexual sin, and they wanted that more than anything else. God could be God of everything else, but he can't be God of this. The question is, what gift are you missing out of because you won't let it fully go to God? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a career. Maybe it's a finance. Maybe it's a situation at work. I don't know what it is. All of us have that. My heart is for you to hear the Lord in what that is and trust him and let him lead you through it. Because when you do, you'll experience the fullness of his peace, the fullness of his love, and the fullness of his joy. Because when I think about Christmas, that's what I think about, right? That's what we celebrate. We spend our whole life chasing this. We spend our whole life wanting peace in our household. If I don't get one more y'all are killing me. I just need 1 second of peace. And then the fingers go under the door. And then there's banging on. Parents, I love y'all, so I don't know how you do it. But I'm just saying. And that was your cat. I'm just kidding. Just a little pause of the cat going under there. I love you so much, but if you don't stop, oh, I just need 1 second of peace. You look at your kid, you're robbing me of my joy. They're like, joy's in my class, dude. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Joy's fine. I saw her at school today. Like, what are you talking about, joy? But it's what we all search for. And if we're not careful, we'll miss out on God's best gift of Jesus Christ because we think our peace, love, and joy can be found in something else. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, I pray that he would remind us that he is God's best gift for us and that he alone is our peace. He alone is our love. He alone is our joy. That we can enjoy this earth. We can live fully in his love and share his love with others. And we can walk in peace no matter what the circumstance is because of him. Not because of us. Not because of our work. Not because we've got it figured out or we know what step we're supposed to be on in the program. No. Jesus, he's leading us through it. And for others of us right now, maybe you're watching online and you're trying to figure out where you can find this peace, love, and joy. And I want to remind you today that Jesus is God's best gift for me. It's what we celebrate at Christmas. John 3:16 and 17 says it, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world but to save the world through him. God is not mad at you for not opening that gift. He's not mad at you for not searching that gift. What he wants for you in his love is to receive that gift by faith. You're not going to find it anywhere else. You're not going to find it in next Christmas. You're not going to find it in last Christmas. You're not going to find it in your favorite Christmas movie, even though I've been trying to tell you to watch it all day long. You're not going to find it in a church on a Sunday by yourself without being engaged in the culture. You're not going to find it on your own. You can only receive it. And so the question is today, will you receive it? If you're in Christ Jesus, will you receive his peace, love, and joy? If you're not in Christ Jesus, will you open this free gift of salvation that he gives you? See, sin separated us from that gift. And God said, hey, I want this gift for you so bad. I will give you the one thing that is mine. And that is my one and only son. And he will live the perfect sinless life you and I cannot live. Giving us access to righteousness so that we can be in a right relationship with the Father. No more religion, no more of these 600 plus laws. No, the fulfillment of the law in Jesus Christ. And then he said, I'm going to love you enough that the wage of that sin is death. My son will go to the cross for you and he will die for you in your place, being your eternal atoning sacrifice. You don't have to die for this. My son will die for you. And then I'm going to love you enough that my son's not going to stay dead. I'm going to raise him again by the Holy Spirit on the third day. He's going to leave an empty tomb so that you can have life to the full now. You can have the full peace of God now, the full love of God now, and the full joy of God now. The only question is, what will you do? Will you receive it or continue to reject it? So with every head bow and every eye closed, the reason we do this each and every week, and we celebrate even Christmas today, is because of the gift that is Jesus Christ. We're about to say this prayer together as a Vine fam, and we do it out loud together as a family because nobody prays alone here at the Vine. So with every head bow and every eye closed, it's not the words of this prayer that saves you, but the prayer of faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So everyone, please repeat the words of this prayer out loud after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, live the perfect sinless life I couldn't live. Died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, whether you're in the house or you're online right now, I'm going to ask you to do something bold on the count of three. If for the first time you have received and opened this free gift of salvation by trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If you're in the house or you're watching online, you can shoot us a comment. You can shoot us a message. You can do that through the app or through all of our social media channels. You can reach out to us. Because here's the thing. Paul talked about it today. The reason we want to celebrate this decision with you is there are angels in heaven rejoicing, but the way that you live in the fullness of it is in the local church, and we want to help you get connected with the local church near you. For the rest of it today, I'm going to pray very quickly, and then we're going to go ahead and stand up and worship Jesus as our King of Kings together, as we should. So, dear Jesus, I just pray that you would surround us with your peace, with your love, with your joy. Whatever we're carrying in here today, King Jesus, there's so much that we know that we just need to lay at your feet. So Jesus, today I pray for every time we're trying to find that in anything else, you would just remind us today that you are God's best gift for us, and that we can trust you even when it doesn't make sense. We can trust you even when it seems to make sense. But most importantly, Jesus, we can have joy in you today. So I pray right now that our joy in you would be seen as we lift your name high. Thank you, Jesus, for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. It's in your name and for your glory we pray. Amen.
You'll stand and worship with us.
can be excited because the Spirit doesn't let that flame or that hot temperature outside, y'all. We got to carry it out into the world today. So I'm so thankful for Jesus, for his peace, love, and joy. And we can't wait to see you next week as we get to celebrate peace, love, joy, and chicken grease. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. But for ordination next week, it is a very important thing. We are so excited. It'll be the first time we get to celebrate that here at the Vine Fam. We're going to have a couple of candidates come up. Might perhaps have more than two, but if not, we'll have another one another day, and we're going to get to lay hands on them and thank the Lord for them. So you make plans to be here. We can't wait to see your smiling face. And if you want to come in your Christmas in July gear, you won't be judged in this house. You just have to take extra sweets home. I'm just saying. Have an awesome week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come. Thank you.